Hi, this is Pastor Jerry from Cross Point Church. I just want you to know that I am so thrilled that you've tuned in to join us right here online. And I want you to know that we care about you, we care about your family. And if you need any information about Cross Point Church, just let us know. You can email us, you can get back to us in any way that's most convenient for you. But I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to this program. And by the way, let us know, would you, how the program is a blessing to you. Now let's go to the pulpit ministry of Cross Point Church. Well, welcome to church today. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to change gears. How'd that be? Okay, let's pray together. Father, bless our lesson today. Thank you, God, for just allowing us to be here. Thank you for fathers. I pray, God, that you'd bless all our fathers today. And for those that have lost their dads, I just pray, God, that they'd have good memories. Bless our service today. Thank you for allowing us to be here. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. All right, three times the charge, Linda. And so the charm you guys are going to get. We're going to talk about wisdom today. We have a lot of people who have knowledge, but maybe struggle with wisdom, and they are different. So let's read our text today, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we're going to read kind of fast because we've used a lot of time. So here we go. A good name is better than good ointment. That's an odd, good ointment. All right. It means expensive perfume. That's what it means. And the day of one's death, here's something really positive, is better than the day of one's birth. What is Solomon talking about? For those of you that are new today, we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, the king, is an old man. He's close to death. He looks back over his life, and he sees some things that he wants to write to give to us. It is better to go to a house of mourning, that means a funeral, than to go to a house of feasting, that means a party. Solomon says it's better to go to a funeral than a party. Boy, that's really an odd saying, isn't it? Because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. He says sorrow is better than laughter. Sorrow, suffering, tears, broken hearts, all those things. That's another odd statement, because when you laugh, you have a lot of fun, right? Well, that's mostly the case. For when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorn bushes under a pot. How many of you still go camping and actually break up twigs and use a pot and cook over an open fire? How many still use the old propane gas, right? Well, for those of you that are still real Mainers, you know what it's like. Have that kindling wood, and before you know, it's gone, right? Well, that's kind of what he's talking about. Laughter's that way, isn't it? We laugh, and then just like that wood, it's gone. Well, so is the laughter of the fool. And this, too, is futility. It's all meaningless. It's all vanity. For oppression makes a wise man mad, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. What in the world is Solomon talking about? We're now entering the second half of the book. He's now going to be sharing with us ways in which we can draw wisdom, draw closer to God, be what we would call Christians that have a desire to follow the purpose and will of the Almighty. The question is, really, is this. What is the most important factor? What is the most important item for being successful in life? Ever thought about that? If we were to take a survey and the survey said, we'd have all kinds of different answers, wouldn't we? The reality of it is this. The most important commodity to be successful here on earth, because that's what Solomon's looking at, is wisdom. To have wisdom. If that's the case, Jerry, what is wisdom? Good question. What is wisdom? Well, first of all, wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge both have a kind of a reoccurring theme in the Bible. They're related, but they're not necessarily the same. The dictionary defines wisdom this way. Wisdom is the ability to discern or judge the following: what is right, what is true, and what is lasting. That's the person that has wisdom. What's knowledge? Knowledge, on the other hand, is information gathering. It's gained through our experiences, through our acquaintances, through our reasoning, through our study. So knowledge then does exist and can exist without wisdom, but wisdom cannot without knowledge. Let me give you an example. Knowledge is going to take a driver's test and pass because you studied. You ask people about the test. What were some of the questions on the test? But the lack of wisdom is not driving the car properly. Maybe being high on drugs or drinking alcohol or driving too fast. Or an example that your pastor had about a year ago as I was traveling from Brewer to Bangor. The light switched and it was yellow. And I, like all of you, pushed on the pedal. The book says, to what did it yellow? Slow down or speed up? Slow down. How many said speed up? You flunked the test, all right? You either flunked the test or you're like me, you did not use good wisdom in this situation. So I, your humble servant, when it hit yellow, I said, I'm going to beat that soccer. I'm going to get through that light. I looked up, but under the light, it was still yellow. And I said, yes! And about that time, oh, man. So I pulled over, and the police officer got on my ID, and he said, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, yes, sir. I went through a yellow light. He said, yes, you did. And after he gave me a rebuke, which I totally deserved, he gave me a break, he gave me a warning, and away I went. Now, I had the knowledge, but I used poor wisdom. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. Just me. But God wants us to have wisdom because the only way that we can do what God expects is to have knowledge. So knowledge is good. But let me share this with you. Knowledge without wisdom is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Well, James tells us in chapter 1 that if we lack wisdom, what can we do, church? Yeah, we can ask God, and He'll give it to us if we ask. The book of Proverbs, also, chapter 1, another verse that some of you might know, many of you might know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or have the proper reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So knowledge, then, is what you have gathered over your life. Through study, through other people, through reading, whatever the case may be. It can be said that wisdom in turn acts properly upon the knowledge that you have in your head. That's wisdom. Knowledge, for example, sees quicksand. Wisdom gives you the sense to walk around it. Hopefully. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments, but wisdom obeys them. Knowledge helps us learn about God. Now catch this. But wisdom loves God. Big difference between knowledge and wisdom. In the second half of this book, Solomon shares bits and pieces of wisdom. In chapter 7 specifically, he gives us 7 everyday life experiences in which he contrasts some key elements for us, like the book of Proverbs, parallelisms, contrasting things, setting one beside the other to help us see very clearly. What we're going to do is we are going to concentrate on one of the 7 that he gives us in chapter 7. And in the first 8 verses, the only reason that we're going to look at just one is because there are 6 principles contained in this one. And we're going to go through very, very quickly because time has gone very, very quickly as well. Now, here's what I want you to get. The majority of our daily decisions that we make are not necessarily, they can be, but not necessarily between right and wrong, good or bad. Now, stop and think about this. Most of our decisions are between what is good and what is best. Good carries a life of mediocrity. Best carries a life of excellence. And God wants us to have a life of excellence. This is Father's Day, obviously. We have a lot of dads here, which is great. And you want your children, I'm assuming, to be good, yes, but to be what? Best. Our decisions. I want to say something else, too. And I want you to take this in the right spirit. Some of it is not your fault, but most of it is your fault. Right now, where you are in life, for the most part, is by a word that is one of the most important words that we know, your decisions. Now you look at your own life right now. You're there. Generally speaking, not always. I know there are extenuating circumstances. I get all that. But most of the time, wouldn't we agree, most of the time, we are where we are because of our decisions. Who we're with, what we do for work, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, for the most part, is our decisions. And we know at times, obviously, there are extenuating circumstances. So with that in mind, Solomon understood that. He wants us to not choose good, he wants us to choose best. And the interesting thing about what he's going to share with us, that I'm going to share with you, is that sometimes the less desirable decision is best. It's counterintuitive. In some ways, it's irrational, doesn't make any sense. And he gives us some of those in these verses. So first of all, the first point out of the seven in the whole chapter, but we're only going to look at one because one has six quick points, and we may not get through all six, and that's fine. First of all, is how do we grasp the best, the good? But how do we grasp the best over the good? That's the question. First of all, he talks about dying. Boy, that's positive, isn't it? He says it's better to die with a good name than to have a bunch of expensive perfume. What does he mean? It's best to have a good name than to gain prosperity in the wrong way. It's important. Stop and think about it for just a moment. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Proverbs 22, verse number 1. He's telling us to not sacrifice your good name for prosperity. And haven't we seen it in our culture, folks? All the time. There's a lot of people right now, and we're not going to get political in the news right now, that forfeited a good name for prosperity. The day a believer dies, he talks about, is better than the day that they're born. What an odd comment that Solomon mentions. Why would he say that? Well, first of all, let's stop and think about as believers. The day you and I die, immediately we're ushered into the presence of God. Now, that's not a bad place to be. Do we agree with that, church? It's not a bad place to be. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Boy, that's odd. But yet it's so true. Something else as we think about it is this. No more earthly trouble. You know those two babies that were dedicated today? There's two things that grip me. One is they're going to really enjoy life. The second thing is they're not going to enjoy life. Because we all know what life is like. Now, maybe you've had one of those lives where you've just kind of gone through and nothing's happened, and I mean, it's just wonderful, and But you know what? If that's the case, you're the exception rather than the rule. Solomon said, look, it's better to die than to be born. Now, obviously, he's not against babies being born. He's trying to teach us a lesson. What's best, to be born and live or to be with Jesus? That's his point. It's best to be with whom? Jesus. No more earthly trouble. Revelation 21:4 says there's going to come a day when there's no more crying, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow. The earth, the first things have all passed away. Because you and I know, as adults, there's a lot of crying. There's a lot of mourning. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of pain. And then he goes on, and we can conclude that he's saying, not only that, but finally, and praise God, we are going to be free from something that plagues us every single day, sin. We read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For indeed, while we are in this tent, this flesh, we groan, being what, church? Burdened. Solomon looked down the quarters of his life. He wasn't against birth and babies and life, of course not. He's simply saying it's a lot of good in that, but you know what, folks? There's a lot of bad in that, and we'll be better off when we're with God. And then he says, oh, by the way, you're better off going to a funeral than you are a party. Now, I'm going to take an educated guess here that I'm probably a person that goes to more funerals than you do, as a general rule. I mean, I go to a lot of them. A lot of them I conduct. A lot of them I just go because they're connected to our church. And I've gone to a lot of parties. Good ones, right? Where people just have a lot of fun. I mean, I went to numerous graduation parties the last month. College graduates, high school graduates, eighth grade graduates, K-5 graduates, newborn baby. I mean, I'm just a party animal, right? Right? I'm just a party animal. What can I say? I know you don't believe that. All right, let me share something. Why would Solomon make such a statement? I'll tell you why he said it. When I'm at funerals, it's a time in which people reflect that death is real. When I go to a funeral, whether I'm conducting it or just in the crowd, like you're in the crowd right now, I begin to think about eternity and my relationship with God. I begin to think about, you know what, Jerry? One day, it's going to be your turn. Whether you're in the casket or whether you're in the urn or whether you're not there at all and there's just pictures of you, however you want to do it. I'm flying this week and my wife were out yesterday driving and we were flirting and on a date and having a great time. And she said, now, honey, if you don't make it back, what do you want me to do? So I told her. And I said, don't keep the lights on for me either. All right, I'm good. All right? You see, funerals have us face reality. I went to a lot of parties, as I just said, the last month. Not one party, and I'm not being critical, it's just the way life is. Not one party, Terry, did anybody talk about God. I'm not saying, I mean, you typically don't, right? Everybody's swimming or laughing or playing games or stuffing themselves with food and you know, all those. So, I'm not, in other words, a party, Solomon is saying, is not a place where you generally face reality of death or drawing closer to God. I've never gone to a party and drawn closer to God, ever. But I want to tell you what, I've been to plenty of funerals where I've drawn close to God. When I'm with a family that is totally broken in pieces, and the love of their life, whether it be a spouse or a parent and a child, and they are overcome with grief, I want to tell you something. There's only one thing that I think about that can help that family. It's not me, it's God. And you know what I do sometimes? When I sit there, when I'm speaking, I go, God, when this happens to me, and by the way, it'll all happen to all of us eventually. One way, somehow, some way, I said, God, give me the strength and the power to stay faithful to you. And by the way, you might think you're strong, but unless you go through something that breaks you in a million pieces, you have no idea how strong your faith is. And Satan will do everything he can to see how strong your faith really is. That's why Solomon is saying, hey, go party. He's not against parties. He's not against babies. What he is saying is, the greater part of wisdom is, there are other things of life that will draw us to God. And by the way, folks, is there anything greater than being drawn to God? Hebrews 9:27 says what? Is appointed a man once to do what? To die. But it doesn't stop there. That's actually the good part. And then what? Judgment. He says sorrow is better than laughter. I love to laugh. Listen, if I get tired, you would think I was a drunk. I'm telling you. When I get tired, I'll laugh and you'll think, what in the world is wrong with you? And that's just the way I'm put together. I'll laugh at anything. But you know what? Laughing, I love it. Have fun, listen to jokes, play games. All that stuff is great. But that doesn't draw you closer to God. You know what draws you to God? Sorrow. Suffering. Pain. And then I've got a few minutes, so let's hit the one that we've all been waiting for. And this one you're going to love because every single one of us really struggle. I mean, it's difficult. Solomon said this. He said, a wise rebuke, verses 5 through 7. We won't read them all. I'm just taking the principle. A wise rebuke is better than the song and laughter of fools. I don't know anyone that loves being corrected or rebuked. People prefer flattery and compliments. But living wisely includes anticipating correction, accepting correction, and appreciating correction. The three A's. Did you catch that? Anticipating correction, accepting correction, appreciating correction. A while back, I'm going to say 6 months ago, I made a comment about a name. And I don't want to get too close to the fire here before I get burned because I don't want to. I made a biblical name, and I was just kind of, you know, I kind of say stupid things. You probably know that if you've been coming here at least 1 week. So I'm just going along being Jerry, and sometimes I just go off the cuff, and I usually get myself in trouble all the time doing that. And I made a comment about a biblical name, and I said something like, you know, what parent would do that? Ha, 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 ha. Well, we had somebody in our church with that name. Well, I thought it was funny. Well, they're just not as humorous as I am, apparently. So I got called up short on it. Now, the true test of our Christianity is how we react to proper correction. That's reality. We don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. I humbly apologized. I said, look, I meant no disrespect. I'm just kidding around. But I made a promise. I said, I will try never to do that again. And I ate it. And I took it. And I should have. Had another person say, you keep using the same phrase in your messages and, you know, you need to change course. They were right. Evaluated it, thought about it. I said, you're absolutely right. Change course. Proverbs 25 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. I want to make a couple of comments before we close. I hope you take this in love. And this time I'm being very serious. This is a real problem, not only in our church, but in Christianity at large. You see, people are so sensitive. That's why people do not do the right thing and approach people when they sin or do wrong, because they're afraid of the reaction they're going to receive. Including our church, just to throw us in there, by the way. My challenge to you is this. If you really want to be a wise person, as Solomon is teaching, accept rebuke. Now, the rebuke, if you're doing the rebuking, and that just means correcting, that's all that means, you need to do it with the right spirit, you need to do it at the right time, and you need to do it with the right motive. Catch those three things? And if you're on the end of receiving proper biblical correction, accept it in love. And even if you disagree with what they said, you listen, you process it, and then later on down the road, you might realize that they were right and you were wrong. But if somebody comes to you and you don't agree with them in their correction, Solomon is saying to us, he's trying to help us, for all of us to listen and receive it in the right way. He's teaching us, friends, that rebuke is more profitable than laughter. No one is corrected or gains anything, drawing closer to God through laughter. See, laughter passes quickly and is not long-lasting. It's important. He's not saying don't laugh. He's just saying it doesn't do a whole lot for you in the whole scheme of life. Pleasure, he says, is like laughter. It's short-lived. Enjoy pleasure. Have pleasure. But ultimately, we need something deeper than that. You see, rebuke, he says in these verses, help us to stay away from things like extortion and bribery and doing things that we shouldn't do. That's why all of us at times need to be corrected. All of us. We can become fools with or without money being involved. And take this last point for what it's worth. A true friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Don't ever forget that. A true friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. What's the main point of the lesson today? Let's be wise. You know what we have in churches? Even in our church, we have a lot of knowledge, but a lack of wisdom. And I fight that in my own life. And I'm asking God to help me and forgive me in my area where I've used knowledge and not wisdom. And that's our challenge today. So as we stand together for just a few moments, if you don't know Jesus today, that'd be a good place to start in that right church. And we have a prayer that we use often at Cross Point, and if you recognize that you're a sinner and you recognize that there's a big gap between you and God, then we would encourage you to think about receiving Jesus today. But for the rest of us, be honest, not with me, with God. How'd you take the last time somebody corrected you? Did you get defensive? Did you get mad? Did you take your ball and go home? It's a good question, isn't it? Solomon is challenging us to be wise, to listen, to perceive, to accept, be willing to change, to think about eternity. He says, hey, enjoy all the fun you want. Laugh. Go to parties. But don't forget, our life is all about drawing closer to Jesus. Amen? So I just want us to pray for a couple of minutes before we leave today. If you need spiritual help, Pencil will be right here after the service. Pencil, just hang around a couple of minutes if you would. He'll pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. So let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let's go to the Lord this morning and say, God, help me in the areas of wisdom and knowledge that I need to draw closer to you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Cross Point Church today. It's such a blessing to have people like you tuning in on a regular basis. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, thank you. Would you let us know by way of email or a phone call or drop us a letter or maybe drop by the church, any way that you seem appropriate, would you let us know today if you've made a personal decision either to draw closer to God or even more importantly, if you made a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, I would love to know that. I'd love to send you materials or put materials in your hand so you can grow closer to God. Email us, let us know. We would love to have that information. And by the way, join us again on another broadcast right here. God bless and have a wonderful day.